Okay.
Good.
Now we
There
are.
We go.
Thank
go
you. In light of the latest discussion, did the Planning Commission want to review the new urban standards for an ADU? Or is that something that you've all taken a look at, have a complete understanding?
Complete.
I can run through it really quickly. It's just meant to emphasize that we're trying to encourage or increase the opportunity for developing ADUs in urban locations. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention here, where it's our standards are now transitioning from accessory dwelling unit, detached versus attached, and it's transitioning into an inside and outside urban growth area. And the new provisions for inside an urban growth area provide more opportunity to develop, specifically the number of ADUs per lot. This used to be limited to one attached or one detached. Now it's two of any type. The main thing for it is that you wouldn't preclude the subdivision in terms of the location. The access, our accessory living quarters used to specifically require that you had a side entrance. So we're trying to be more flexible on the access by referencing other areas in code, making sure that there's urban levels of water provision, sanitary service, those kind of things. We did have an area of design standards that we were looking at to try and make it more predictable. But then we, in some jurisdictions, it has a certain architectural style. You make sure that it's consistent exactly with the adjacent structures, things like that. We tried to add a little bit of flexibility into that. We did slightly increase the percentage from 50%, I believe. And then parking, this is one where this is actually a specific section that allows more flexibility for parking. So if you have a single ADU, it's not requiring you to provide the additional off-street parking space, provided that you meet certain criteria, which is outlined in the regulations here. But then if you do end up building a second unit, it does require one parking space. So that is something that helps to provide the opportunity to develop without extra regulation. And I believe that kind of covers most of the things that provide flexibility. The standards for rural ADUs have not changed. As we've mentioned before, that is something that is outside the scope of our project. So.
Okay.
I guess in terms of, we seem to be focusing on a lot on the residential uses of things here. So in that line of thought, are there other residential uses or categories that that stuck out that needed some additional time to discuss?
Crickets.
Okay. How about if we are going on to the commercial uses?
I would agree with that.
Okay. So I'm going to pull up the table, our allowed use tables. These are our limited areas of more intense rural development. As you can see, it does have the reference to Appendix F. That is throughout the whole table. So of course, that's a little side note, but just to clarify, I hadn't put it in there before. These, as you can see, brew pubs gets absorbed into drinking establishments. event facility is one of our new categories that does have some specific standards that we have set up for rural locations, especially because of some sensitivities to neighboring parcels and impacts from amplified sounds, things of that nature. So that is something that I was planning to reserve for the next meeting, if that is okay. But if you want, I can go into the details of it. We did split up our uses in the commercial sector here into some subcategories where you have the hotels and hospitality. Then you get into your retail type services. So these are uses that are fairly consistent with our existing table, but as you can see from the notes on the side here, combined into individual categories, we tried to reduce the number of categorical uses here.
Excuse me, Darren, are you trying to screen share or speaking as if you were?
Oh, I was. My apologies.
Oh. Good catch.
Thank you. So our, as I was mentioning, we have a good amount of commercial uses. We tried to reduce them as we could. We also tried to clarify in our terminology and the categorical use name. So you will see some things that actually do change as a result of that in terms of level of permissibility. Primarily, this is going to be something that when you have the smaller scale commercial uses or something that is not considered like a heavy commercial use or a heavy industrial item, those are the kind of things you'll typically see in our residential and lower impact tables. You won't see the heavier uses there. So if I go up to, this is our rural and residential table. So as you can see, there's not many of these commercial uses allowed in the rural locations, consistent with our comp plan. But when you get into the urban residential zones, there are some locations where we identify items for recreational, things that support the adjacent residential uses. The smaller stores, that is something that we're newly allowing in a couple of zones, reducing the permit review in others. And then of course, each of these items gets rolled up into that retail merchandise store, as these are essentially retail uses. If you're selling supplies, you're selling arts and crafts or garden equipment, it is essentially a retail operation. So you have the same level of, theoretically, the same level of traffic and the impacts that would come with those.
Aaron, I don't want to cut you off, but I'm just curious if there are any specific questions from the Planning Commission tonight for this particular session related to the economic development updates. Just want to do a time check and recognize that we're already at 7 o'clock, and I think we had an hour scheduled for this work study session tonight. But we're happy to continue if the group wants us to continue to go through these items, but we can also hold this for our next session as well.
Right. Any input from the commission? Commissioner Lyson.
I'm okay with holding off till our next session. Gives us plenty of time.
Okay. I would concur. Any burning issues for anybody? No.
I have one question for the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Is there something that we can do that might help for the next session in terms of going over specific materials, things like that?
Okay. Commissioner Lyason raised his hand.
Sorry, here I go again. If we can get the printed copy somehow, I was hoping we'd have our hybrid meeting so that if we wanted to appear in person, we could grab it. That hasn't happened, although I think the joint meeting with the county went well. But if we can get the color-coded copies, as you mentioned, we've got some 11 by 17 spreadsheets, et cetera. They're going to be difficult for us to print at our businesses and homes. So I maybe offline, we could do a group email with the clerk and see if we can make arrangements. But I know there were the majority of us that wanted to have a printed set.
Thanks. I had the binders are all printed and they're waiting at the counter.
Right. I got mine.
And okay. I will mention that although they are formatted 11 by 17, it actually does show up well in an 8.5 by 11 format. So it is something that can be printed out 8.5 by 11 on those sheets. It's a little smaller text, but it does work. So, but we do have hard copies available.
One suggestion I had was on the presentation when you're showing us the tables, I know it's an Excel spreadsheet. And if you could actually show the Excel spreadsheet and freeze the header when you're scrolling through to show that, you know, it's kind of easy to get lost in the, when you show all those blocks and then you can't see above to say, oh, what area, what zone was this in that? Just a suggestion.
I will mention the first two tables, it's all right. A Word document. And ironically enough, the first two tables with the residential and the commercial zones, that actually mm-hmm. keeps the header as you scroll. But for some reason, the Lambert zones, for some reason, that one does not like keeping the header. So I do have a way to go around that. I can split the view and make it work. Right. If you can just remind me next time if sure. I'm not doing it, that'd be great. But I am sorry about that.
Oh, no, it's just helpful for in the future, especially when we get to public meetings and that, you know, as you present it, people, you know, it's easy to get lost in the matrix there. So,
and that'll also be helpful for our virtual presentations as well. So thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Any other final comments for Darren?
My last question, Commissioner Murphy here, whether it's for Director Remack or Darren or Liz, I dig into the tables every day at the depth that you're discussing, but many people don't. What are, at the 30,000 foot level, what are the three things that you are most excited or most proud of or really define that you think that we are making a positive change toward economic development with these changes? What are those sections that you just see, man, this could do so much good for our county. We're so glad we're doing it. What's that answer?
Well, I know for me, because there is a large portion of the county that loses the footnotes, pulling them in and making them hyperlinked straight to the section so you don't miss anything, that's a big one, right? That's for clarification. And then I'm going to turn it to Liz and Darren because they've been much deeper in it than I have, but which of the sections would you look at that you think that went from decreased impermissibility or increased, made it easier, that stand out to you?
And if I might finish Jeff's sentence to say, really would make a difference in economic viability that was lacking.
Darren, you want to go ahead?
You want me to, or you want to go?
Go for it, I'll follow.
Okay. So for me, what really speaks to me is that we are allowing more uses in more zones where they're anticipated to be. So the residential uses, I think, is a big piece where we're allowing a variety of the housing types. Whereas before, you had some locations that had a residential density in the zone in the density table, but it didn't actually allow residential uses. So that's one piece for me that I feel strongly that is a big help. The other one I believe is scaling the uses to allow small scale operations to develop with less permit review, so that it's not just the large stores that are going to be coming in. It allows it to scale it to a community level and create more community cohesion.
I was going to say, the rural commercial is one thing that stood out to me. The permissibility of some of the items in the rural commercial that previously weren't allowed. And that is directly based on the sliding scale, like Darren just mentioned. The school is, you know, one of the things when you look at it. Not everything is going to be a high school. Some things can be smaller. You can have a Montessori school. You can have a private school when you look at it that's smaller in nature, that has greater permissibility. So it gives that flexibility for some of the owners and what they're trying to look at or what they're trying to develop. Mm-hmm. I cut off Liz, so I apologize, Liz.
No, that's okay. I think for me, you know, the ability to have walkable neighborhoods and blending of different uses and allowing the market to really drive the built environment is something that I've throughout this project really appreciated. And I think I also would add that we've added some new land use categories that previously were not included within our allowed use table, which essentially means they're prohibited or require similar like use determination from the director, which just kills projects in terms of timelines. And the review associated with that. So the fact that now we have those uses incorporated into the use table with, you know, very explicit levels of permit review is a great enhancement. I also think the ability to mix both residential and commercial within some of our zones where previously, you know, it was requirement versus something that was driven by the market, I think is also a really good enhancement as we move forward, rather than dictating the built form, providing that opportunity to have, you know, really walkable, contained communities within Kitsap County and looking at the mixing and blending of uses that scale at the neighborhood level and are compatible with those residential uses. And that's really what we heard during those surveys early on in this process, is that the community that participated in those surveys really wanted to see the opportunity for small scale commercial within their residential neighborhoods that previously was not allowed here in the county. So I think those are good innovative approaches that will help to spur hopefully some more economic development.
Can I do one
more? No,
those are fabulous. But since I've got your ear, how would you speak to the possibility that, or what would your one thing be that makes permitting more cost-effective maybe than it's been in the past? And time is a cost, right? We're aware of that. So yeah, time can kill a project, but what else are we doing to make it, well, I guess, you know, a CUP changing to an ACUP gets cheaper, but give me another example.
I would also add, you know, having the reduction from a CUP to a straight permitted right to building permit and integrating, you know, some standards that we see consistently across those conditional use permit reviews, rather than having that additional process associated with certain products or certain uses, having those standards and the predictability built into code already really just helps to expedite things for the applicant and permit reviewers and lays out the expectations on the forefront, rather than having the hearing examiner process potentially add additional conditions that were not explicitly set out in the beginning of the review process. So I think those are quick wins that we can look at, and wow, we just lost lights in the office. But those are just, you know, kind of first thoughts that come to my mind, Mr. Murphy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I think we can conclude Mr. Gurney's work study session, and we will move to the agenda item G, the buildable lands report by Ms. Williams.
Thank you. I'll be pretty quick here this evening. Just wanted to provide a quick status update on the buildable lands program. So as you recall, Kitsap County in coordination with the local cities is updating our buildable lands program pursuant to the requirements in the Growth Management Act. This is one of the first steps that the county and cities take prior to updating their comprehensive plans and development regulations, which for Kitsap County is due in June of 2024. The purpose and scope of the buildable lands program and subsequent report is to look back at development trends between 2013 and 2019 to review consistency with local plans and policies. It's also to look forward and evaluate if there is sufficient land supply within our urban areas to accommodate both population and employment growth out to 2036, and identify reasonable measures if necessary to address any inconsistencies that may be identified based on that review and evaluation. We've mentioned in past briefings that this project's been delayed due to various reasons, including but not limited to the workload challenges with other mandated projects and the importance of permit review, kind of given the submittal increases in 2021 that have impacted all of Kitsap County jurisdictions. On July 9th, we did transmit a preliminary working draft of the buildable lands report to the Washington State Department of Commerce. Since that time, we've been continuing to work with city partners without contractor or grant support to complete a draft report for public release. So tonight, just want to provide a quick update on the release of the draft report and share an outline of the content that will be included and incorporated in that as it moves forward for public review. So we do anticipate all review comments back from the cities tomorrow based on these final edits, which we don't anticipate will be major because we've been working iteratively with the cities throughout this process to go back and forth on a lot of the different sections related to their jurisdictions. But we do, based on their final edits that we receive, are prepared to release the report either this Friday or early next week, depending on the feedback that we receive from them. That release will initiate a 30-day public comment period. As mentioned at previous Planning Commission briefings, this is not like a typical code amendment or comprehensive plan update where the Planning Commission will be asked to make a recommendation to the department on the draft report. However, we welcome feedback from the Planning Commission and public, and will continue to attend upcoming meetings to brief you on the status of this report as we wrap up this process. In terms of content that you can anticipate, the report is broken out into five different chapters. The first chapter is really an introduction to the report. It summarizes the regulatory and policy framework for this update to the buildable lands program. And it also includes an overview of state law changes to the program since our last evaluation period. Chapter two will provide an overview of the methodologies used by jurisdictions to evaluate historic development trends. So permits that have been issued between 2013 and 2019, in addition to new plats or subdivisions that have been issued within unincorporated Kitsap County, in addition to the local cities. It will also provide a review of the methodology used for the update process for both residential and employment land supply, which we have previously reviewed with the Planning Commission at past briefings. So the different assumptions and steps that go into that look of whether or not we have sufficient land within our urban areas to accommodate our population growth that we are anticipating. Chapter three will provide a review of growth and development trends. So we have already taken a look at the population growth trends for the county with the Planning Commission at one of your previous briefings. This chapter will also include a review of the plat and permits issued between that time period and achieved densities across the various zones in both the city and the county. Chapter four will focus on growth capacity. So taking a look at findings and summarizing whether or not urban growth land capacity within each city and unincorporated urban growth areas is sufficient to accommodate the remaining population that we anticipate for 2036. And then finally, chapter five will include and identify any inconsistencies that were observed as part of the review and evaluation, and identify some early options for considering reasonable measures by jurisdictions as part of the next comprehensive plan update or development code updates for other for adjusting urban growth areas. So that particular chapter will focus on new potential reasonable measures across all of the different jurisdictions, or at least kind of an idea of what those may look like as part of future update processes. In addition to, there will be several appendixes, which will go through an evaluation of existing reasonable measures that the county has identified over the years as part of previous buildable lands evaluations, and identify their implementation status and a review of their effectiveness during the last evaluation period. So it is quite a bit of information. As we've shared, we've tried to keep the Planning Commission up to date on the various elements feeding into this report. You have taken a look at the population and employment trend data with the department thus far. So the permit trends will be new information for you to review in addition to the land capacity results. So with that, I'll stop talking. Are there any questions for the team this evening on the buildable lands timeline or content of the draft report that we anticipate releasing either this Friday or early next week?
Commissioner Lyason.
Three part. One, do you happen to have an approximate percentage of how many of the reasonable measures have had to been implemented because of compliance issues or hearing board decisions? I'm just curious. I know it's required. They're part of the process, but I'm wondering if we've ever had to implement any and how often. And then the second thing is, if I could have a better understanding of what I'll call the mission or the objective, since the Planning Commission is not the regulatory authority on the BLR, and we're not providing an opinion to the Board of County Commissioners, but you're accepting advice as a department, why are we getting so many briefings? I mean, I love to have you, Liz, and it's educational and informative, but I just want to get a better idea, and I sort of understand the role, but I want to know, is this a check the box thing? Because it allows public participation. We've had a lot of briefings. Almost all of it has been on process, and I'm, you know, looking forward to it. And again, I'll always enjoy hearing from you, but I'm wondering, what's our role and responsibility? What's the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Appreciate all right. So reasonable measures, in terms of existing reasonable measures that the county has identified over the course going all the way back to early 2000s, there are currently 48 reasonable measures that have been identified via various resolutions, ordinances, as part of comprehensive plan updates, and that appendix in the report will detail all of that, in addition to their implementation status, whether or not they have been implemented fully, if they're still in review by the county, or if they're partially implemented. We do go through that analysis in the appendix. I would have to I didn't analyze the reasonable measures the way you're asking in terms of the number. I feel like I've analyzed it in all kinds of different ways, but not particularly that specific question, but certainly can circle back with the Planning Commission once the report is released to follow up on that question, Commissioner Eliason. And then in terms of the review authority, so this will go to the Board of County Commissioners. We do anticipate that they will approve a resolution, basically, you know, accepting the findings of the report based on feedback from the public. The purpose of the briefings with the Planning Commission, yes, they are an opportunity for public participation throughout the process to stay informed. However, this is really the first step that is leading to the comprehensive plan update in 2024. It's foundational for that update process. The methodology that's used as part of this buildable lands report will be refined as part of the 2024 comp plan update and used to help size urban growth areas once we have new growth targets out to 2044. So that is definitely something that for this body, for the commissioners, it's important for you to understand the background information and assumptions that go into this report because it is utilized and considered as part of that comprehensive plan update process, which is definitely part of your role as a planning commission moving forward. So, you know, that's really our goal. Number one is providing early opportunities for folks to be involved and understand this process, in addition to making sure the Planning Commission is understanding all of the analysis that goes into informing the upcoming update to the comprehensive plan.
It's really front-loading the issue prior to comprehensive plan. It's a large body of work to take on to go through the comprehensive plan and to adapt for all of that and take it all in. So it's building blocks, baby steps to really understand. So later when a question comes up, that base level of knowledge already exists to try and make it more fluid and more forward focused when we go through the comprehensive plan versus looking at some of the basic inputs that go into it.
Commissioner Beam.
Which chapter has the success stories? How many things have been annexed, where we've been annexed, how many square miles have been annexed, how the growth, urban growth area boundaries have changed? What chapter is that in?
So that will be part of development trends in addition to review of existing reasonable measures. One of the previous reasonable measures identified by the county related to annexations and wanting to encourage that. So they'll be within the growth and development trends in addition to that appendix related to the reasonable measures evaluation. I will say we have not had a lot of annexations during this evaluation period. So I believe there's only been one or two as part of, I think, the city of Bremerton early on in the evaluation period. So it has not been a significant change in kind of jurisdictional boundaries related to this particular evaluation period. And there are success stories, I would say, peppered throughout the report. You know, in many instances, we are seeing improvements in achieved densities across various zones in the county. There are areas where we are still seeing inconsistencies, which is where you'll see recommendations for considering potential new reasonable measures. Our focus has really been on incentivizing development within the urban areas and removing barriers to that investment. So very similar to what we're trying to accomplish with the zoning use table update and focusing on more incentive-based measures versus those that might be regulatory in nature. So again, looking forward to the feedback on the findings of the report. It is very data-driven. So there is a lot of things that you know, the information is what the information is, but certainly appreciate feedback as it moves through the process and we refine the report prior to the board taking action on that resolution.
Okay. Any other questions for Ms. Williams? No? Okay, thank you, Liz. And moving on to our next item on the agenda, our second general public comment period. Looking over at our attendees, if anybody wishes to address the commission. I do not see anybody wanting to address us. So
I don't see any either.
Once, twice, sold. Okay, we are closed that session and we are now on agenda item I for the good of the order and commissioner comments. We did note that we had our annual meeting just yesterday. So, and I appreciate everybody that was able to make it and understand those that couldn't. Does anybody have any comments on how they felt that meeting went? Yeah, we're pulling teeth here, okay. Commissioner Elias.
Since nobody's going to contribute to the cause, I will. I thought it was a fantastic meeting. Obviously, it was our first rollout of a hybrid meeting. And as I mentioned, being one of the ones at the virtual end of it, it was a little bit tough, but I thought Commissioner Gelder did a great job making sure everybody could participate. But everybody, almost everybody at the table contributed to the conversation. I've only been to, well, in my career, I've been to a lot of these, but as a planning commissioner, I've only been there the last 3 years. And to me, this was by far the best one I've attended.
Right.
So a great job to you, our chairperson, Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. I would note that the idea was floated that the Board of Commissioners should meet with their prospective members from the Planning Commission, which I highly encourage everyone to kind of give them a nudge and see, because if we're communicating directly to them, and it won't be on won't violate the open meeting law if there's just three of you talking to your commissioner, I would think that would be very useful. And I think the commissioners, I saw total agreement that they would like to do that. So a little nudge might help them put you on the schedule, and hopefully we can have in-person meetings. I did notice the challenge that a hybrid meeting does have. I mean, even Mike learned to use his raise hand function. I think what we'll do when we get to hybrid, and I kind of want to lean on my vice chair, is kind of give her the job of watching the screen so that if we're, you know, if I'm paying attention to in person, that she can key me into somebody's trying to get in on the conversation. So that was my takeaway from the hybrid. And that now that was in the small, Port Hadlock room. Don't know how it's going to work out in the chamber. So we'll stand by. Hopefully we'll be doing that next month. And then any other comments in that? I did appreciate your participation, Ms. Commissioner Beam. Seemed to really push the topic there of housing, affordable housing. So seems to be a hot topic for the commissioners also.
Could I also say how much I appreciated talking? Well, I think Commissioner Gelder started with kind of asking us about housing affordability and making sure that there was diversified housing. And then I really appreciated Commissioner Eliason saying, help guide us. We're trying to stay in our lane as far as a planning commission and what's our role versus what's a human service housing program role. I really appreciated that point because I think we struggle with that. Like, we want to dive in deeper, but we want to make sure that it's appropriate that we dive in deeper. So I just appreciated having that perspective that they kind of supported us going there, but they understand that sometimes we want to go there, but we also want to be true to our role and stay in our, right. our boundaries. So thank right. you for bringing that up.
Right.
My pleasure.
Good job. Okay. Any other comments? Anything else for the good of the order? Commissioner Lassen.
Hopefully my final comment, since we're complimenting people, I want to compliment Commissioner Murphy, because a lot of times we get involved in all the details and minutia, and then he comes along and brings us back to big picture. And I was very impressed during this particular meeting when he asked the staff the two questions he did. And I thought we got fantastic answers from the staff in regard to the big projects we're working on right now. That was extremely helpful to me. So thank you, Commissioner Murphy. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else? No? Okay. So do I have a motion for adjournment of the meeting? I know you guys like hanging around. Commissioner Murphy, I saw your hand go up.
So moved.
Move. Second? Commissioner Boat. All right. All those in favor of ending tonight's meeting, please raise your hands. Okay, unanimous. All right. Well, hopefully we will have a hybrid meeting next month. Stay tuned. We'll get the new agenda out as soon as possible. Good night.
I was going to mention too, so the folks that had the binders, like I said, they're at the front counter now. If you want to try and arrange for someone to pick them up, we have some staff that lives kind of out somewhere. So if you want, we can see if someone can meet somewhere on the way to drop off. I don't know if that's helpful or not. Just send me an email and let me know if you want to try and do something like that, if you're not in Port Orchard or something. So if it works, we'll try. So.
Right. Oh, and Commissioner Smith, I'm going to start using the lighting on your face as when we're time to end the meeting.
All right.
Anyway.
Okay. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.